News starts right now.
And if there's someone you can't live without, then do so.
The one place the right will unequivocally protect free speech is the one place where the speech isn't actually free. Algorithms, it's speech incentivized for engagement and profit. It's manipulated. Social media is a machine designed to stimulate the reptilian parts of your brain that would otherwise beg you to go outside.
John Stewart this week. Of course, you know, reacting to a lot of things going on in Washington, but talking particularly about what he views as the hypocrisy in Republicans, particularly Trump, being so in favor of free speech, supposedly, and then restricting free speech in a lot of ways, and then celebrating free speech on social media. I agree and disagree with him. Yeah, I mean, first of all, he's right that social media is manipulated, amplified speech for profit, for purpose, on a plan. It is not just the, you know, open town square where you can have a conversation. Yeah, I mean, that's clearly true. Precisely because most of the exposure you have to other people's content is heavily mediated by the algorithm telling you that you will or will not be interested in these things. And the algorithm pushes you towards things that are, you know, unhealthy most of the time. I finally almost feel like I have taught Facebook how to give me stuff I like. I know, weird. It's taken all these years, 15
Wait,
years.
You think you've taught it? What do you mean?
Well, social media pays attention to what you do.
You mean like clicked on?
Yeah, clicks, likes, okay. Reactions, comments, and then it feeds you more stuff to get engagement. So if you engage in the things that you actually enjoy, theoretically, it'll give you more of the stuff you enjoy so that it keeps you on the platform longer. Of course, its theory is that, well, if I can make you afraid or scared or turned on or, you know, whatever, you know, these more base human impulses, then I'll get more of your attention. And I've been trying to teach it not to do that. Because it doesn't work with me. But it do give me this stuff, you know? So as a result, I get a lot of things about, you know, board games and Gen X stuff and, I don't know, chess puzzles or whatever. And comedy,
chess
generally
puzzles?
Comedy. Yeah, I don't know.
How do you put it?
Lately, it oh, puzzle. It's like Mate in 2, Mate in 3. Look at this great move by Garry Kasparov or Anton Karpov.
Chess moves.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like thinking you were doing Jigsaw to chess.
No. So it, but it, you know, lately it seems to think I'm really big into chess problems, which is fine. You know, they're fine. But I disagree with John Stewart because there is a sense in which social media at least doesn't tell you what you can't say. I mean, it does in some ways, less so than it used to. But you're not entitled to eyes and ears. You're entitled to your own voice. Right? That's the idea of free speech. Free speech does not entail an obligation by somebody else to listen. So even though the listening part is heavily mediated by the algorithm, if you trust your feed instead of just going to find your own material, going to somebody's page, which is another way you can do it, then yes and no.
Guys, social media isn't the same as free speech. Social media is free speech in the way that Doritos are food. It's ultra-processed. It's designed in laboratories. And the most disappointing thing, where are my conspiracy theorists at now that it's on the right? For God's sakes, billionaires are designing machines to manipulate our speech, to control our behavior, and rewire our brains.
Seems fine.
They're removing our regular speech and doing a, I don't know, great replacement of it to solidify their hold on power. Are you awake yet?
Because that's what people with power and money do. They create ways to aggregate and accumulate more power and more wealth. Right? I mean, he's not wrong. And then sometimes they build devices to implant in your brain so that you don't even have to use a keyboard. No thanks. Anyway, so I just thought it was an interesting commentary, and certainly, you know, we should be consistent in our support of speech, and the way you show your consistency is by supporting speech you do not like, defending speech you do not like. Protecting the rights of people to say things that you despise. That's the key test, okay? It's very easy to protect the rights of people to say the things that you like. 437-1620, 437-1620. Coming up next in the Transgressive Memorial Service, what would it look like when somebody really committed to the gender anarchy agenda? I'll tell you coming up next. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're traveling Highway 90 again today, we've got construction going on. From Pace into Pensacola, it's down to one lane, and I'm starting to see traffic back up just a little right now, so be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
The Sanger Theater opened her doors on April 2nd, 1925. For 100 years, she's been the heart of Pensacola entertainment with vaudeville, movies, Broadway, and music. This month, Friends of the Sanger and the City of Pensacola are saying happy birthday to the Sanger, and we invite you to help us celebrate. Learn more about these events at pensacolasanger.com/100. And happy birthday, Sanger.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach is back. Grab a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music each and every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. This week, it's Pensacola Beach favorite Christy D and Bad Juju. So grab a blanket or lawn chair, but don't bring any pets or glass, and get to Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion, thanks to the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
This week, dear brethren, I have very good news for you. We have only praise celebrations for some of our heroes in the faith. First, for the game company Hasbro, which recently announced the reinvention of one of the all-time most evil board games in history, Monopoly. Now, I know many of you might be thinking that Monopoly is evil because it's a mind-numbingly long game that often leads to hurt feelings and family fighting, but that's not the real issue. The fundamental problem with Monopoly is that it teaches, dare I say, preaches capitalism. The importance of private property, the owning of rental properties and growing them to their maximum abuse of the tenant, and even the hyper-development of natural resources into houses and hotels. So evil. You may not realize this, but the original developer of the precursor to Monopoly actually meant it to show people the ills of laissez-faire capitalism, elements of which criticism are still part of the game today between the random chance events of life, the unfair police system, and the winner-take-all mindset of selfish greed that produces one king robber baron at the end of each unpleasantly long game. Unfortunately, the plan backfired, and millions of Americans and even people in other countries grew up loving the game, playing it ruthlessly, and even learning from it the ways of capitalism and the acquisition of monopolistic power rather than the evils of either. But now Hasbro has reinvented the game without paper money. Instead of having a banker and players who must track their balances and constantly do math to determine things like the return on investment of any given land opportunity, they will go paperless and play the game via an app on their phones. Now, it's true, the basic game elements remain the same, and so all the core problems of promoting capitalism persist. However, there are two big advantages of this new version. First, players no longer need to know any math to play, which means they do not learn how to do any math in the actual playing. This, of course, is absolutely essential to our political goals, since equality for all and the mathematical consequences of the redistribution of wealth are really bad. But if people can't do math, they won't know. And since people cannot successfully run businesses or keep tabs on their governments if they can't do math, moving Monopoly to a math-free game will only facilitate a mathless society who won't have to worry about acquiring wealth, since they'll be living in the poverty-stricken socialist utopia we will provide them. Second, anything that shoves people away from direct eye contact interaction with other people and onto their screens and phones is yet another big win for our cause, since a country of screen watchers and app users will ultimately be governed all the more easily by the thought leaders and executive guidance counselors of our order. So, for further separating our people from the mathematical foundations of a free and capitalist society, and for giving them one more reason to bury their eyes in their screens, we say bravo, Hasbro! Keep up the good work of destroying America. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, to the outstandingly incoherent social activism of all of those who are participating in the defacing and destroying of Teslas, we just want to say how much we are with you in spirit, if not actually with you in committing vandalism and arson. Yes, we of course feel your deep wrath towards the straight-arm-saluting South African who is being allowed to decimate the federal workforce by President Not a Chance in H-E Double Hockey Sticks We Ever Say His Name. And since the only logical way to show the almost feral anger we feel toward him is to take it out on completely unrelated private property made by his company and sold to people who at least used to think like we did, we want you to know how proud we are of what you're doing. If slashing tires, gouging side panels, breaking mirrors, and setting incendiary devices to destroy Teslas is not enough to soothe the savage progressive in you, all we can do is offer our advice to think bigger. Don't just attack Teslas. Since it's really the entire project of electric vehicles that Tesla has promoted, why not destroy other brands as well? Priuses, Volts, Lightnings, and even the very ugly Mach-Es. And while you're at it, why not destroy charging stations? Or maybe just to show Elon Musk how evil he is, you could start driving gasoline cars again. But what about other projects Elon Musk is in charge of? You could try to impede or destroy a SpaceX launch, maybe by chaining yourself to the missile silo. That would really show him. Or you could drive to disaster zones or Ukrainian battlefields and demolish every life-saving Starlink satellite system you find. Perhaps you have friends who use the social media platform X on their phones. Well, why not just grab those phones and break them? If enough people have their Teslas, their Starlinks, and their X-carrying phones destroyed, then no one will be giving money to Elon Musk anymore. That'll show him for sure. So just as we celebrate climate change activists who throw beans on artistic masterpieces, or social justice warriors who win hearts and minds by laying down persuasively on freeways to make people late for work, we salute you Cybertruck attackers everywhere. Keep doing the work and smile for the sentry mode cameras. Your felonious acts of violence bring joy to our bleeding hearts. Well done. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our Golden Tambourine Award of the Week goes to Pennsylvania State Senator Lindsey Williams for her unflinching dedication to the true and holy cause of systemic gender anarchy, the third of our 6.5 sacred pillars of wokeness. Speaking courageously against a bill to ban transgender athletes from girls' sports in her state, she said,
"I want all girls to know that there are elected officials like me who believe female bodies are just as strong, as fast and capable as male bodies. Because notably, this bill only seeks to ban trans girls from playing sports, not trans boys."
Yes! Women's bodies are every bit as fast, strong, and capable as men's bodies. This basic fact of science is so completely proven that it's almost incomprehensible anyone dares to challenge it. But of course, we are not ignorant of what the gender bigots and the two genders only blasphemers say on this subject. Some of us have even had to hear President No Way Jose repeat these heresies from the Oval Office. We obviously realize that male runners routinely have faster times than female runners, and we certainly know that male weightlifters regularly lift more than female weightlifters, and of course we admit there are no women in the NFL, MLB, NBA, or NHL. But is this proof that women's bodies are less strong, less fast, or less capable than men's bodies? Absolutely not. To say that would be offensive and a sexist insult to women's self-esteem. The sort of thing we know must be false because it would be mean for it to be true.
I want all girls to know that there are elected officials like me who would never underestimate your ability to beat a boy at their own sport. Because that's what the premise of this bill assumes, that female bodies are less than male bodies. That girls are at a, quote, automatic disadvantage and can't possibly compete against boys, even though girls do it every day.
And since mean or offensive ideas must be false, we applaud Senator Williams for simply stating what must be true, no matter what the apparent evidence from the world of sports shows to the contrary. But of course, the heretics ask, if women are truly as capable as men in every way, why aren't there any in the professional sports or the Olympics who are beating men head-to-head in competition? Well, isn't it obvious? Because the system is rigged against women. The entire apparatus of sports is obviously built on systemic sexism. And just like the SATs were biased against minorities, sports is biased against girls. If the stopwatches show a slower result, it must be because the clocks are manipulated to lie. If the weights lifted are less, obviously it's because someone is swapping them out between events. Women aren't in male professional sports because they're systemically excluded from tryouts, told they're less capable, and brainwashed into believing that women can't compete against men. That's got to be the reason. It's only logical. That's why this whole idea of allowing transgender athletes to play in women's sports is entirely the wrong approach. What we should do instead is eliminate the separation of men's and women's sports and watch the equality manifest itself. It's high time to tear down the walls of this athletic apartheid. Time to end the era of separate but equal in sports. Yes, we must desegregate the fields and courts of this great land of equality. Integration is the only way forward. Now, of course, for a while, we need to implement some gender affirmative action in the newly integrated teams to make up for the decades of Jane Crow regulations that kept the female athletes down with lower funding, inferior training, and uncomfortable uniforms. So yes, an integrated NFL will require that 50% of the players be women, until such time as women prove that they are just as strong as the top offensive tackles, just as fast as the top wide receivers, and just as capable as the most talented safeties. I'm sure it will only take, what, a couple of seasons. But because we have our gender anarchy principles to guide us, we know this will work, and our dreams of a gender-blind sports will come true. So well done, Senator Williams, for saying the truth before it's true, so that we might act as if it's true and make it true through sheer repetition of its truthiness. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
628 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
Truthiness. I'm still good on that one. All right.
Always live by the motto, tell the truthiness.
Tell the truthiness. Yeah. I learned a new word today. All right. Here we go. Let's see here. If you're traveling on Highway 90 between Pace and Pensacola, we're starting to see backups, congestion down to, it's down to one lane due to construction. If you're heading that southwestbound approach, it's already backed up to Woodbine right now. So just be aware of that. You want to take an alternate route. You can either take Avalon or take 87 to I-10 or Avalon to I-10. Of course, Quintet to 29 is your alternate routes this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. If you're considering the prospect of buying that next vehicle, I know it's normal. I mean, I find it, you know, in myself too. You tend to think about the people trying to sell you cars, you know, like Frontier Motors, is kind of like the adversary. Like you're trying to get something from them that they're trying to charge you too much for, take advantage of you. I mean, there's that feeling like it's in a fight, me against them. What if you viewed them more as a partner? What if you thought about them as an ally rather than an adversary, as an advisor on car buying? I mean, you know, you do what you want, but maybe go to them and say, hey, here's kind of the budget I'm hoping for. Here's kind of how I use my car, the number of miles I drive, the kinds of tasks I do, and here's what I kind of like. Do you recommend anything? Do you have any idea about what cars people seem to say they like a lot, what features they like or dislike, which cars hold their value or don't, which cars resell easily or not so much? Because they certainly know, you know, you've had experience of, what, a few dozen cars maybe in your life, and they've had experience of hundreds, maybe even thousands, right? And so I'm just saying, maybe approach it from a, give me your advice. You don't have to take it. Or you might find out, oh, that's pretty good advice. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. In the newsroom, we got Steve Taylor with a headline or two for us. Steve?
The Trump administration is working to revoke hundreds of student visas. Yesterday, Secretary of State Marco Rubio says 300 or more student visas are being revoked as the White House targets students who express support for Palestine. Rubio calls these students quote, lunatics. And that's what's happening.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing because, you know, you tend to think, well, they would have full free speech. But also, there are elements of the visa that are conditional upon things. And that's kind of what Rubio is getting at here. Oh, interesting bill in Minnesota to make Trump derangement syndrome a mental condition. We'll talk about that a little coming up next.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. A major earthquake hits Thailand and Burma.
This building was just moving. Dust and debris. It was pretty intense.
Fraser Morton's a Scottish tourist in Bangkok, Thailand, where several people are killed in a building collapse. People are also killed in the collapse of a mosque and a hotel in Burma. Vice President Vance heads to Greenland today, which President Trump wants taken over by the U.S.
This was originally billed as Second Lady Usha Vance's first solo engagement. Now the Second Lady will be joined by her husband, the Vice President, of course, National Security Advisor Mike Waltz, Energy Secretary Chris Wright, and Utah Senator Mike Lee. They'll be heading to the Butafik Space Base. They're expected to get a briefing on security issues and meet with
opposition to the now scaled-back visit. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31, 61 degrees in Pensacola. I'm Steve Taylor, in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. Two Pensacola men were injured after a vehicle crash in Santa Rosa County yesterday evening. That's according to the Florida Highway Patrol. Troopers say a 56-year-old man driving a flatbed truck had a tire blowout on Interstate 10 westbound near the Avalon Boulevard exit. He then pulled to the left shoulder of the interstate. However, as he tried to travel over to the right shoulder, he didn't stop for oncoming traffic. A 36-year-old man driving a sedan couldn't avoid the truck, and he crashed into it. Troopers say the sedan driver became entrapped, suffering serious injuries. A helicopter took him to the hospital. The truck driver had minor injuries. Need to be considered as the port evolves.
UWF has also agreed, as they know, as we continue to grow and expand, and part of our strategic plan is to expand to the north half of the port, that this lease was intentionally written with the flexibility to be able to move UWF in and around to different locations of the port, because what the port may look like 5 years from now may be different, and there might be an even more suitable location or a shared space with other tenants.
The lease's start date has been postponed until July 1st, allowing more time for preparations. UWF is currently operating a smaller 5,000-square-foot space there for engineering projects. President Trump is backing two Republican candidates in Florida's upcoming special elections. He joined a telephone town hall last night for Florida's chief financial officer, Jimmy Patronis, who's running to replace former Congressman Matt Gaetz in the state's 1st congressional district. He also called in for State Senator Randy Fine, running to replace Congressman Mike Walls in the 6th district. Walls resigned to become Trump's national security advisor. Let's check the forecast from Channel 3.
One last dry day to wrap up the work week before we see some changes in the forecast as we head into the weekend. For your Friday, expect sun and clouds with temperatures in those lower 70s. Going into tonight, mostly cloudy in the upper 60s. Saturday, increasing chance for some showers and storms, and that lasts into the second half of the weekend as well. Be sure to stay with us on WEAR. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your first warning weather update.
Now let's check in with John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. But if you're traveling on Highway 90 coming from Pace into Pensacola, just be advised it's due to construction is down to one lane. So just be aware of that. And it's starting to back up way past Woodbine right now. Other than that, I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, John. Right now, 61 degrees in Pensacola, 61 in Gulf Breeze, and 58 degrees in Milton at 6:35. Next news is at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back?
back. If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code EARN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about five times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The East Coast Writers Association presents the Books by the Bay Festival Saturday downtown in Museum Plaza from 10 till 4. See booksbythebay.info for more. The Palafox Market is open Saturdays from 9 till 2 at both the Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza and Plaza Ferdinand. Check out items from talented vendors who grow, make, or create. See visitpensacola.com for more. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Catch all of Westwood One's sports coverage of the NCAA tournament on our sister station ESPN Pensacola. Friday, beginning at 6, Ole Miss tangles with Michigan State. Kentucky rumbles with Tennessee. Michigan clashes with Auburn. And Purdue goes up against Houston. The NCAA tournament is presented by Shrimp Baskets, Emerald Coast Coins, Bamboo Willies on Pensacola Beach, Paul's Hardware, Florida's Finest Structures, and Buggy Works. A News Radio 92.3 sister station, ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's 6:38 here on News Radio 92.3. By the way, I just had a mind blip. Suddenly I forgot that we're going to have Alex on. So at 7:38, we're going to talk about the Trump derangement syndrome bill. And so not right now, unfortunately. But Alex Andrade is our state representative for District 2. And he joins us now by phone. All right, am I getting closer on the right era for vintage for the music?
Oh, no. The song you just played, we don't have to go into details about the song you just played.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, that song you just played is what I had in mind. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. I heard what you played. I heard what Walker played with you last week, and you know, I'm trusting John to be my guide on what is actually old school rap, not you know retired school rap like I would advocate for. So a lot of stuff going on in the legislature. I don't know which one's the most important, but let's start with sort of the most recent. The legislature began this year by overriding some of the vetoes that the governor instituted last year, and by basically saying, you know, we have the power to override vetoes, though, right? And it's kind of set itself up to be a little bit of a showdown between the governor and the legislature. And then he kind of came back and now has said, I don't like it. This is not good. You shouldn't do this. I figured you might have a thought.
Governor DeSantis, when he terms out in 2 years, is welcome to run for the Florida legislature if he thinks he can do it better.
Wow. All right. Fair. Okay, good. Everybody's got their role, right? Everybody's got their power. And by the way, you know, sometimes people perceive conflict as being some kind of a meltdown of the system. This is a system that is designed to manage the resolution of conflict and to create pathways in order to solve problems where people don't agree. Otherwise, we wouldn't need governments. It's not a constitutional crisis when people are exercising their powers, and it's not a state constitutional crisis when you guys pass a budget, he line item vetoes, and you override the veto. I mean, that's actually how the system works, right?
No, exactly. The separation of powers is baked into our American fabric. I think it was Oh, man, Justice Antonin Scalia, who gave a great speech to Congress one time about how that's not dysfunction. That's how the tension's how we're supposed to be operating. That's when we're operating at our best, is when we have that kind of tension. You don't want to be completely unresponsive. You don't want to have certain functions just completely fail. You know, I think Congress is at the point where it's failing, when they're passing continuing resolutions instead of actually passing new budgets.
I completely agree.
You know, I think Congress has reached that point of failure. But no, here in Florida, like, we pass a balanced budget, we meet all of our constitutional requirements, we function appropriately, and we only happen to be in Tallahassee's legislature for about, you know, in session for 60 days a year. The rest of the time, we're not even, you know, in session as the legislature, or we shouldn't be, because we shouldn't be having all these special sessions constantly to kind of end run the constitutional process that we already have. So, no, I don't think that there's any kind of constitutional crisis here in Florida. This is how government's supposed to be operating.
I agree. Speaking of budgets, Danny Perez, Speaker of the House, a good friend of yours, advocated this week for a budget which is actually lower than last year's. That's kind of a novel concept in government. He also is advocating for a reduction in the state component of sales tax from 6% down to 5.25%, something that he says would reduce state income or revenue. We sometimes euphemize it as saying that state revenue go down by about $5 billion. But, of course, we're cutting spending, too. So this is, I mean, a major shift for the state. Is, I mean, are they serious? You know, this is like a weird, I mean, I'm glad to see it, but is this a serious thing?
Oh, no, we're dead serious. This would be the first time that we've had such a significant cut in taxes. You know, this would be the first time we've actually cut our spending without being forced to. Like, we had to have cuts in spending during the Great Recession as a Florida legislature. Obviously, I wasn't here, but, like, back in, I guess, 2009, 2010, because of a lack of revenue. This would be the first time that I'm aware of in history where we'd be actually cutting our budget so significantly and also cutting our spending. I mean, and also cutting our tax revenue. But I think it's merited, and there's one criticism that people keep saying. It's like, why are we going to cut taxes for tourists? But 365 days of the year, I live here in Florida and you live here in Florida. I would say on any given day, less than 20% of all sales tax is paid by tourists. That means 80% of all sales tax that's paid every single day here in Florida is paid by a Florida resident. Tourists don't come here to buy cars. We buy cars here.
Right.
Tourists don't pay nearly as much for gas here in Florida as we do. We buy gas every single day here in Florida. This would be a huge savings for Floridians. I mean, $5 billion in savings divided by what, $22 million people. I mean, that's a real savings for Floridians that we haven't seen in Florida's history.
And honestly, the part about it that I like particularly is that it's not the tax holiday for special items so that we can get political benefit by looking that we're giving you cheaper things for back to school or whatever. You know me, my philosophy is I hate all these tax holidays. I think they're silly. But the one thing I can at least praise this one for is probably not going to get many people go to buy a flat screen TV and think, well, thank God that Danny Perez gave me a tax cut. They just don't even notice. You know, they might notice that it's less, but they aren't going to think the same way about, you know, favoring politicians for giving them this. At least I don't view it that way. What about in your silo? Because you are over the largest silo of the budget dealing with healthcare stuff. What are you guys, what's been happening there? Have you found, you know, we talked last time you were looking for redundancies in positions. You were looking for people who are getting paid twice. You were trying to bring some accounting reform to have the books basically be reconciled in ways that they had not been done properly. Have you made any progress?
Yeah. So I presented my proposed budget this week. It represents a cut of about $1 billion in initial annual spending, and it also cuts one program that spends $50 million a year over the next 10 years. So that's a savings of $500 million over the next 10 years. We propose cutting 3,500 positions from our healthcare agencies, so Department of Health, Agency for Healthcare Administration, DCF, Department of Children and Families, Agency for Persons with Disabilities, and Elder Affairs and Veterans Affairs. So we cut 3,500 positions, or proposed to cut that many positions.
Out of an overall number, what's the overall number we're looking at? 3,500 out of how many?
About 30,000. So a little bit over 10%.
10 or 11%. Okay, go on. Sorry.
And these are only positions that have been unfilled for 90 days or more.
Got it.
Some of these positions have been unfilled for several years. That represents a savings this year of about $150 million. If the Senate agrees with our position. While I did not propose cutting any like rates for healthcare services, we didn't increase any rates for healthcare services either. We do have in Florida, because we're not a state that expanded our Medicaid program, our healthcare spend in Florida is lower than the majority of other states. So I just didn't think it was appropriate for us to be doing that, especially when we look nationally. We don't have a guide star to see exactly what would be good healthcare spend for a state our size that didn't also expand our Medicaid program.
Right.
So those proposals came through this week. It repealed some portions of the Live Healthy Act that was the Senate President's priority last year. The Senate President from last year, Senate President Pastodemo, she is still in the Florida Senate, even though she's no longer the Florida Senate President. So I can see the Senate maybe having an issue with that. But under the new president, we'll see if they want to negotiate on that or not.
Got it. We're talking to Alex Andrade. He's our state representative for District 2, which is the kind of the southern waterfront portions of Santa Rosa County and the southern third geographically or so of Escambia County. 647 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you right now, but we are seeing some delays on Highway 90 if you're heading from Pace into Pensacola due to construction. It's backed up way past Woodbine. They've got it down to one lane, so find an alternate route. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Alex Andrade. Alex, as I know you are well aware, your former employer, the city of Milton, or particularly Heather Lindsay, has made comments implying that the budget items, the three items that they were hoping to get from the state this year in Tallahassee, her perspective is that they were on track to be requested. And then she sort of woke up one day and discovered that neither Senator Gaetz nor Pat Maney in the House was going to be running any of those items. And there was an implication or a statement, really, that Maney, anyway, had been told that, to get rid of them. Senator Gaetz said no such thing. The implication was that somebody killed these bills. And I think the implication was that it was you. That's what I think is the implication. Obviously, with not having Joel Rubman in the seat, there's nobody to advocate directly for the geography that is not your responsibility. It would be unethical for you to run bills when you were employed by the city. But can you just, address the issue? Did you have anything to do with killing, thwarting, ending, punishing the city of Milton or these three funding requests?
Nope. No. I think one key issue that the mayor keeps glossing over is the fact that she never personally spoke to Don Gaetz, and apparently the lobbyists never spoke to Don Gaetz until the very last minute, the day they found out that the House wasn't going to be filing those appropriations for the city. So I think the bigger issue was the entitlement expectation that somebody cared about Milton and Tallahassee. And there was really no advocacy, apparently. And again, this is all stuff I'm finding out after the fact. No, I had nothing to do with these appropriations not being filed. But again, even if they're filed, that doesn't mean they're going to get funded. The city of Pensacola filed one appropriation this year for a second fireboat just for American Magic. I don't think it's a year for the city of Pensacola to be getting a fireboat specifically for American Magic. So city of Milton's not the only city that's not going to get funding this year in the budget. There's hundreds of cities in Florida. Plenty of them are not going to be getting funding in the budget. I just hope at some point the city of Milton finds this new city council finds a new boogeyman to complain about.
We're just going to move on. Obviously, I have a lot to say. We even have a whole feature. But there's another bill that's been in discussion. I think Channel 3, even just as we're talking, has been running a story about this. The customary use bill. I think of this as the Fort Walton Beach bill, but I know it's not really just that. We only have a couple of minutes. I know it's a complicated subject. It's a bill you're running. As I understand it, it's not actually a bill that you know you're into all that much. It's a little bit complicated for people. Can you do your best to explain the bill, where we're at, why you're running a bill that isn't even really your project?
Yeah. So Shane Abbott's a House member. Jay Trumbull is a senator. They represent the Walton County area. They both asked me to file it because Shane Abbott didn't have a bill slot for that repealer bill. Essentially, the question is, should county commissions be able to vote to declare portions of privately owned land as customary use for the public to be able to cross and park on and camp out on? Or should a judge have to determine whether or not a parcel of land meets the definition of customary use? So the tension there is who should be making that decision? Because it's a due process question, and it's almost like a taking of land. I've always erred on the side of saying a judge should probably do that instead of, you know, five partisan politically elected officials. But at the same time, litigation is pretty much over in Walton County. Most of those parcels have either settled with the county one way or the other or had judicial determinations made about them. So at least as far as Walton County is concerned, I don't necessarily think the statute on the books the way it is needed. I think it's a misnomer and a misconception that anyone says this language carves out Walton County. It certainly doesn't. All you have to do is read the statute to understand that it has nothing directly to do with Walton County. But by taking this back, it allows county commissions to essentially make that determination, and it would put the onus back on the property owners to take the county commission to court if they think the county commission took portions of their land inappropriately.
So it's which is ultimately a question of, like, what's been the habitual practice? Have these land rights been enforced and protected, or have they not? Has the public enjoyed a kind of customary use over time? You know, I think sometimes it gets perceived as and it would be or could be a taking. But I think, you know, some of the advocates of declaring customary use think of it as simply a recognition of what has always been the case. Of course, we've had conversations like this about, you know, over like on Perdido Key, for example, here, and, you know, a different issue, different laws, different property rights and all that. But it's that issue comes up of what the public is expected or has come to be expected as the customary use. And your basic point, I just want to make sure I get this because I want to make sure people understand the issue, is that in Fort Walton, Fort Walton Beach, it's relatively mooted out now because most of it has been resolved. It has historically been a question for judges to decide whether customary use applies rather than politically elected leaders. The bill would make it so that the county commission could do it, and then the individual landowner could sue in order to get back from having to grant the customary use access. And even though you side with the traditional interpretation and not for this bill, you're still running the bill because somebody asked you to. Which I think is a kind of, does that ever happen? First of all, do I have all that basically right?
Yeah. This isn't like a one issue where I'm so hard and fast on either side that I feel uncomfortable or like I'm violating some principle of mine to file it. But, you know, I think Walton County specifically, their issue is the county sold all of their beachfronts to the Mean High Water Line 50 years ago. And then they wanted to take it back without buying public beach access. I think that's more of a failing on the historical county commissions in Walton County, who didn't buy back public beach access after they'd sold it when they realized their beach was becoming popular. So that really is the issue. I think if a county wants to take land, they have to pay for it. And I don't think that they should try and end run having to pay for land they want to take by, you know, kind of like dummying up a legal claim, like a legal statement of fact to declare land having a specific character instead of, you know, going through the process of buying back land that they want to own again.
Yeah, and I appreciate the issue. It's a very interesting issue, of course, and obviously as beachfront properties here in Escambia and Santa Rosa County, we think about this kind of stuff all the time. I just think it's interesting that you're filing a bill because they didn't have any slots left. You only have so many bills you can file. They didn't have repealer slots left that they could file, and you're filing it on their behalf, even though it's not exactly your issue. I I kind of like that, honestly, that way of working together. Alex Andrade, State Representative for District 2. Alex, as always, thank you for the time. I know you've been under the weather this week, and I hope you feel better. We'll talk to you again next week, sir.
Thanks, Andrew.
You bet. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Still dealing with no accidents right now, which is a good thing. I-10, I-110 are looking good. But if you're heading from Pace into Pensacola via Highway 90, we're starting to see maybe a 20-25 minute delay through that construction zone as traffic is down to one lane. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
You know, if you're working in the construction industry, like you build things for a living, Pensacola Hardware is your place. And if you don't know that already, I mean, go try them. Go talk to them. Go talk to Jimmy or Martin or Mansfield and ask them, hey, what can you do for me? Andrew's always talking about you because they are your commercial construction supply business. The warehouse is right here in Pensacola. Like, they get their stuff. They, like, walk back to get it, or you walk back to get it. It's very available. And I know sometimes you have to deal with special orders. You know, the architects, the engineers tell you you've got specified products that you've got to use. They have no problem doing that. They can help you with that. In fact, they really love doing that because they want to help you get exactly what you need so that the architects, the engineers, and the inspectors are all really happy in the end. So they're definitely not afraid of those special orders. But if you haven't been there and haven't asked them what they can do for you, by the way, you won't need a translator when you go. They speak your language. They understand. I wouldn't, because I'm not in this business. But they do, because they are, and they have been doing it for forever, since 1851, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Looking for the perfect kitchen, bath, or flooring? At Home Outlet, we don't just promise the guaranteed lowest price, we back it up.
Yeah, but how low are we talking?
We'll beat any competitor's price by 10%.
That's wow. But okay, what makes your store better?
Funny you should ask. We're 100% employee-owned. Everyone here has a stake in making your home projects affordable and stress-free.
So I'm getting expert advice, unbeatable prices, and I'm supporting employees who actually care?
Exactly. Why shop anywhere else? Home Outlet, kitchens, baths, floors, and more at the guaranteed lowest price. Visit us at homeoutlet.com today.
Jimmy Patronis is a Republican Florida congressional candidate and the Florida's chief financial officer, and he joins me now. Donald Trump has endorsed you. He says Jimmy Patronis has done a tremendous job as CFO. Patronis has my complete and total endorsement. Run, Jimmy, run, he said.
That's my plan. Look, I'm born and raised in the Panhandle. I love this part of the state, but we've got an open border policy that's got to be closed. We will close that. We have got to restore our confidence in our military and give them the support that they deserve. We will do that with the Trump administration.
He said, run, Jimmy, run, and you said, yes, sir. We'll see how it all plays out.
It's been a wild ride these past few weeks. I've met so many great people, and with your support, I'll be the voice in Washington fighting for you, putting America first every single day. The president can count on me, and so can you. I'm Jimmy Patronis, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message. I'd be honored to have your support on April 1st. Paid for by Friends of Jimmy Patronis, Inc.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays a Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
Magic mirror on the wall, who is the fairest one of all?
Well, obviously John Pickens is.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that.
Yeah. Wow.
Steve Taylor's in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. Steve?
Russian leader Vladimir Putin says it'll be a mistake to dismiss President Trump's push to control Greenland. Putin spoke earlier during a visit to the world's largest city north of the Arctic Circle and said it's, and we quote here, it's a profound mistake to treat it as some preposterous talk by the new U.S. administration. His comments come as Vice President Vance is going to be in Greenland today.
Your
that's what's happening.
Former KGB chief sounds vaguely British. I'm not sure which accent of Vladimir Putin's you were aiming for there, but you know, interesting choice. Thanks, Steve.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.